Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is part four of our Sunday morning series entitled Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World or the Whole Man, and features special guest speaker Brian McCleese from the World Organization Convoy of Hope. So now, let's join Brian as he shares with us this week's message.
You can imagine it's January 12th. Life's just a little different for everybody, isn't it? And there's rising up in all of us a sense of urgency about the moment. And I think that's a sign that we're in touch with the King. But I had a scripture this morning before a talk that came during worship. And I just want to frame what we share in the light of what's already in motion. We feel so reassured by the plans that have already been put in place as you guys move together with us towards Easter. We're so blessed and humbled and grateful for your confidence in the leadership team at Portland Christian Center has placed in Convoy of Hope to be first responders in Haiti. But I want to just share with you what I think is going on a bit as God lets us in to what he's doing. Jesus said in a familiar passage, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that we are in the process of discipling nations. For that, you need someone who has all authority. How much does all leave out? All means all. And before this tragedy, because churches like Portland Christian Center, who are partnering with you through One Day to Feed the World, providentially, the warehouse in Haiti was not damaged. And it had just been restocked to the hilt. A team, providentially, with the national director of our team for Haiti, was in country with quality team leaders. And they literally began first response when the shaking stopped. Because the King wanted it that way. And so that gives me calm right now. That along with the love that's rising up, there's also wisdom. That we want to stay in step with what he's already arranged. We had a wonderful time, Ray and I, thinking about this moment this morning, several months ago. And I had to stop and just he's aware of the hurting. And he's doing something through his church. Because we're starting to like cooperating. And I think that's huge for the world. That we cooperate. Because what this text says is he wants us to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's more than taking a repentant person and getting them wet. It's immersing a nation in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing right now. We're not purely humanitarian aid first responders. We want to be unapologetic in how we connect people in, especially this moment, to the hope of the world. And for that, we need to be humble and stay with his plan. And I believe in this next 65 days, because you are friends of God, you're going to be hearing his voice in new quality, in HD. Things are going to come to you. Ideas. Yes, there will be a gleaning of one day's wage. It's only once a year that you get to do that. But it becomes so much because there's corporate sponsors, guys, behind the scenes, over 400 of them, who said, we like the record of Convoy of Hope. And please don't let this sound, even though it sounds like a pat on the back, a self-inflicted pat on the back. Because what we state to each of them, it's fine if you want to give through Convoy of Hope. But here's the deal. We're going to be positioning ministries who have a record of playing nice with other ministries and are unapologetically evangelistic in compassionate ways to advance Jesus' gospel with your products, or we can't partner. And they're like, fine. 400 of them. Quaker Oats, Bass Pro, FedEx, Coca-Cola, Budweiser. There's a giggle here. They can water. Just so you know. The NFL. God is doing something. And what happens, hi Helen, what happens is that provides stretch to the resource so that boots on the ground can remain the local hero, and Convoy's not really the upfront on that end of it. It's just Christians who love Jesus, who want to baptize Haiti in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, are distributing. And just so you know, I was so encouraged this week as all the reporting, CNN, all the networks, everybody, kept flagging and reassuring people that the money's going to go to good things. And you can check it out with this watchdog group called Charity Navigator. Anybody hear that name? You did. That was so encouraging. For the last 6 years, Convoy of Hope has received their highest rating. I don't know, but I think 6 years is unprecedented. And we've been positioned among all charitable organizations operating in the U.S., 99.8 percentile. And to my knowledge, there's no 100s. But that's important because in this kind of thing, ethics and efficiency matter. They really do matter. So with an operating overhead of 8% and a stretch of resource that becomes 8 to 10 times what we give, it's like your day that you give becomes a week's worth. And right now, there's no capacity for all of us to get on a plane and go through that airport. But what you need to know is since Monday, over 460,000 meals have been served. Since this last Monday. Because he had a plan in advance of this. I don't understand all the mysteries and so forth. I just think it's time, honestly, for some of the leaders in the church to shut up with their ideas about what God was not doing or doing and roll up their sleeves and ease suffering. And I just want to say thank you that we get to partner with you to see that happen. It's so like Christ. I was really encouraged. I listened in on the podcast of your brave pastor, who was willing to identify that there's maybe a hole in the gospel. And I so agree with that. And I want to say that, you know, I'm all for forgiveness in heaven. How many of you are super grateful for forgiveness in heaven after we die? But the gospel of the kingdom is so much more than a theology of Christian dying. It's about real hope and real meaning for your existence right here now. And because of the incredible atoning work of Jesus at the cross and the reality of the resurrection, honestly, forgiveness is a very simple process. We can clear all of that record up because of the enormity of his work already at the cross, right? What I want to look at this morning is the broader reality of Jesus' real, whole gospel of the kingdom. Because unless we do that, we can easily just sort of ratchet a need to respond in Haiti to a gospel that's already a bit impoverished just by the focus, you know? Biblical scholars have said, you know, what you focus on determines what you're going to miss. Because God's kingdom is immensely loving, true, paradoxical. It's dealing with broken humanity. And we need to focus in to get what we can in a certain area, but there's so much of Jesus' gospel. And I think it's good for us to really call ourselves and our attention to what that gospel is, so that there'll be places to put all the other parts of Scripture together for the complete picture. And if you're like me in moments like this, having a Father's voice is really, really important. I thought, if it's okay, I need to hear that voice too this morning. I already have been. But I'd just like to read a few texts and let them speak instead of me sort of explaining stuff. Is that all right? Listen from the Mosaic Law, what's recorded in Deuteronomy, from the heart of God. But there will be no poor among you. For the Lord God will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. If only you will strictly obey the voice of the Lord. For I am your God. And if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all that you undertake. In the book of Job, whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. And I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. No wonder God thought so much of Job. From the wisdom literature, if a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. He who's kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he himself will reward him for what he's done. A generous man will be blessed, for he shares his own food with the poor. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. But he closes his eyes to them who do nothing. Strong words. It gets stronger as you move from the wisdom literature and the Psalms to the to the prophets. But before I leave that, a wife of noble character, my anniversary week. This is what first attracted me to my Barbara. A week after she got saved, she didn't know it, but I caught her down in Harvard Square giving away blankets because it was a cold week. She hadn't been to a Bible study yet. It was her first week as a believer. God's Spirit does that. She opens her arms to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. That's a wife of noble character. May the body of Christ be a bride of noble character right now. It gets more passionate, as I said, in the Old Testament prophets. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? And your light in so doing will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. So what was Jesus' gospel? He simply said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repentance is a big word. I think we've gotten a bit confused in it. I think we've learned how to lament our circumstances and consequences for not obeying his word. I'm not sure we've learned all that repentance means, but in its simplest, it is to turn from something less and embrace the greater that is God. But we do this because now there's a kingdom that's arrived. What's that about? Well, the most important thing in any kingdom, and including the kingdom of God, is what? The will and the authority of the king. And we didn't have to go, you know, introspecting or speculating or guessing about what the Father wanted. It's more scientific than that. In science, the nature of the thing that's being studied determines the way it's to be studied. And God's way of revealing himself is all through human history. And that's recorded in Scripture. That's how we find out who God is by what he chooses to disclose about himself in acts with people, the people of Israel. And clearly, that whole Mosaic law was slanted towards eradicating poverty even more than it was securing financial wealth. I think it's an easy matter for God to bless his people. But the whole goal going back to Abraham was we were being blessed in order to be a blessing. That can become the challenging part, can it? Jesus taught his disciples this. That simple way of praying. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's his will being done in heaven? Pretty good. I mean, his will's being done in heaven pretty good. And that's how he wants his will to happen where? On earth. But you look at some of these amazing qualities of Scripture and the things that are defined there. It's staggering. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount. If the gospel is only forgiveness of sin in heaven when you die, where do you put the Sermon on the Mount? Where do you put the book of James? Where do you put the 25th chapter of Matthew? The end of the age when Jesus gathers the nations. And he says, okay, here's the deal. And by the way, Jesus is teaching that towards the test, like a good teacher. Here's the test. There will be sheep and there will be goats. And the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is we get to evaluate right now. Who am I becoming? I think there's been an awful lot of good affirming Christian literature about who we are. But I think it might be a better question because we're all in process. Anybody perfected in anything yet? But it's good to know. Who am I becoming? What gospel story am I living out of right now? Am I more sheep-like? What I love in that story that Jesus taught was it's so free of self-consciousness among the sheep. When did we ever do that for you, Jesus? You know, when did we clothe the naked? When did we clothe you? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you were doing it unto me. Mother Teresa had a beautiful statement that Jesus comes to us in the poor as in the most distressing disguises. And yet, we have an opportunity to meet him in the relationship we're building with the poor. Jesus had many practices, among them solitude, also celebration with people who were not in the kingdom yet. And that created some interesting dilemma for the faithful, including his key spokesperson, John the Baptist. In Matthew, we read this story. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." But I love what he said. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. See, Jesus not only preached this message, he told others to go preach this message. He sent out guys and said, get this sequence. Heal the sick, and then tell them the kingdom is near. It's powerful. And who shows up in Jesus' story here? The blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the poor, the dead. What's being spoken here, if you had ears of that era, is people are entering the kingdom and enjoying the kingdom, but it's not on the basis of what is humanly proprietary. These are all outsiders, guys. And they're sitting down to the banquet. They're receiving ahead of some people who really had more information about God. One guy was a legal expert, and he came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to attain eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What's written in the law?" And then an even more important question: how do you read it? And so the man gave an answer that was correct. Well, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. He said, yeah. And your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, do that and you'll live. You know, if you're looking for, let's pray together so that you go to heaven after you die. You're a little disappointed by Jesus' answer. Yeah, you got it right. What else do you want? Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives one of the most memorable story lessons in the history of the world as a moment of teaching. He told the story of the Good Samaritan. And in it twists the whole story to aim at this lawyer's heart. I'm not picking on lawyers this week. And he says, the question isn't who's your neighbor. More who's not your neighbor, and become neighborly. And if you do that, you'll live. What is that life? You see, caring for the poor is really a lot of hard work. And it needs to be resourced by someone else than us. And that's what's offered in the kingdom, is this huge resource. Huge resource. You know, the kingdom of God doesn't need a lot of money. That's not the currency of the kingdom. There's plenty of money in the kingdom of God. Because you know what the currency is of the kingdom? It's the king's voice. And you might have seen him speak this week when complete non-believers, you know, who are famous for their non-belief and the immoral practices that go along with the industry and music, all came together to raise a lot of money for Haiti. I think the king probably spoke. And stuff started to happen. Am I in trouble here? I mean, I think it says he has all authority in heaven and earth. And when God wants to say, we're doing this, lots of people who don't know him say, okay, still. Did you see that on TV? With all three networks agreed? Boom. Okay. We are in a moment that's going to take a lot of work, right? But what we have is something called grace. And grace happens to be something you get when you're wrong. It also is something that is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. And some of the demonstrations of the kingdom happened when people gave these unbelievably superhuman effort that nobody could possibly do because it was the king resourcing it. Paul said, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was kicked out of Dodge, you know, all of it. And it kept bouncing up. I think he was stunned too. God is breathing on his church right now. And we're so delighted to be working with you. But I wanted you to understand where this is in the gospel, because it will energize how we talk to the world. I love our King. I love that he loves the hurting and he's concerned. Don't you love that about our King? So, yes, in about 65 days, Easter will be here. And that's the day that God's spoken to this leadership team that you're going to bring a day's wage. But please don't just cut a check. Here's what we really need. We need you to pick an actual day on the calendar. Ask the Lord to show you what day. He might have something extra special to resource you with. And go to work that day, and maybe a couple of buddies, and buddy up and say, this is the day I've chosen. And go to work that day and let the Lord consecrate your job. to go towards what he's doing in Haiti. 11,000 children a day, by the way, were being fed in Haiti. Things were going so well in Haiti earlier in January, the board agreed to shoot for 30,000 in Haiti. Things were great. Now, it's going to take time. The infrastructure is going to have to be put back in place. We're going to be there for years, okay? Okay? But in that, we can call pre-believing friends. Use your water cooler time in a kingdom way at the office and say, hey, you know, if you're part of Portland Christian Center, you could be doing something in Haiti. I am. In advance of that day, don't put Convoy's name on it. Say, I'm a part of a community that's in mission with Jesus to transform the world. And we're doing stuff in Ethiopia you wouldn't even believe. Guess what? God's ahead of you in Ethiopia, too. I got some stories for you, Ray. Because he has all authority. And maybe some of you guys who are a little more technically inclined could use your social networking. You say, I know a safe way to get it through and expand into Haiti. Just be a part of Portland Christian Center and come with me on Easter, and then we'll have this big moment, and then the world can catch the church doing something well. Do you get that? Can you see what Daddy has been thinking as we just sit here at the kitchen table with him today? Stuff's going to happen because stuff is happening. But please give that day to you, saying, Father, teach me to be a part of your kingdom. I'm fumbling with the keys of the kingdom a bit. You know what I mean? Have we fumbled with the keys? The church, you know, we got keys early on. I want to live in your kingdom. We don't know all the stories that are going to be coming out of Haiti, but we're 46 months outside of Katrina, and now as things happen, we can see back in what Jesus was doing in that horrible, horrible disaster. Little part of that New Orleans story is an area called Mary Poppins. You know, anybody know that district? It's now more of a Honduran community, refugees from Honduras, become violent. There are a lot of gangs affecting what was happening in the city, and the city just put up a 10-foot chain link fence. I don't even know if it's illegal, all around this area of the city, to keep the crime contained. And we asked permission to go in, and they know who we are now because of 46 months of serving. You understand it's not a drop and go? We're going to be in Haiti for a while. We're still in the tsunami zone. And out of that, a moment happened where church members, not Convoy, but just resourced by Convoy, went in. We want to serve this part of the city. Can we just share the love of Jesus with this part of the city? They went in and cut hair and helped write job resumes, did medical and dental screenings. Ladies got pedicures. There was counseling material provided for domestic violence. And the police said, you can't do it. It's too violent. They sent about 60 policemen. They started the outreach and nobody would come, and so we asked the policemen to leave. And then gang presidents showed up and said, nobody's ever come in here to help us. How can we help you? Hundreds of people gave their lives to Jesus. There's a full-on church in Mary Poppins now. And people in that church are from gangs that were opposed to one another. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We want to enjoy and engage his kingdom. And I just sense the Lord saying this morning, Brian, tell them I love them as much as the people in Haiti. And in each of our lives this morning, there have been buildings falling. And God cares about the rubble you're trapped in. And he's saying this morning, come unto me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need to take on and learn the wisdom of the light yoke with Jesus. Let him resource how we try to function and live out the mission of the King. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, this was encouraging this morning that this would be like a refresher to things you already know. But he wants to drill down and bring new dimension to the truth in your heart about this. And you just want to say, I think I've been living out of just that tightly focused gospel too much, and I just appreciate how Jesus, by his Spirit, is saying, there's more for now. And I want to be an ambassador of that message. Could you just, while heads are bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand about that? That's resonating in you? Yeah. Me too. Me too. I feel so refreshed here this morning with the Father just being with us. So would you just let him do that? We began praying that earlier this morning. Would you just trust him? Trust your whole life. Every part of it. Especially your thought life. The part about your life that has to do with the future thing. With your sexuality, with your finances, with your physical health, let the King speak in. And I love what Ray said earlier. Let's come in alignment with what he's saying and doing. Lord, we just thank you for watering us in truth this morning. And out of that new place, that space in our heart that you're reclaiming this morning, I ask that you would call us into meditation on your scripture and celebration and solitude and fasting and caring for the poor, Lord. We want to come under the claim of your word and your life this morning. So say all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you say thank you to Brian for sharing with us? Say thank you. I love Brian's tender heart to the Lord, and I'm moved, and I'm excited about what God is calling us to do and what he's calling me personally to do. To change this world. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I think we're in a seminal moment where Portland Christian Center is going to engage on behalf of the King, and we're going to change the world. And one of the things that we're going to do is an activity that will literally change the face and change the future of Haiti. And we're going to do a one day to feed the world. And we're going to bring a day's wage, and if God speaks to you to do that, I hope he will. I'm going to do it. I have 75 days to begin to align my finances so that I can make that happen. And we're going to go in, and we're going to feed the hungry, but we're going to stay there. It's not a drop and run. We're going to stay there. We're going to partner with local agencies and churches, and you watch, Haiti is going to be changed. And we're going to do that in Ethiopia. And we're going to do that through all of the other missions that we have going on. We are at a moment where God is opening up doors of opportunity like never before. And you're probably thinking, I wonder if he's about to take an offering right now. Well, we're going to take an offering, so I'm going to ask you to prepare, and I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare. But we're not going to do that. Hang on. We're not going to do that till Easter Sunday. So just relax. So you can begin to think about it and pray about it. And on that day, I think something is going to happen in Portland Christian Center and through Portland Christian Center that is going to shake this world. Friends, I believe that. And it's going to fundamentally change how we think about the kingdom, because we're going to experience the grace and the delight of the King, the Father, at our step of faith and obedience to do it. I have a friend that was just up the road from me in California who pastored a church. And they got a hold of this One Day to Feed the World concept, and they got involved in it, and they did it. Church of about 150, maybe 200 at the most. And on that day, that church family brought an offering of $100,000. And I thought, my goodness, if they did $100,000 at 150 people, what will Portland Christian Center be able to do? I think it's going to be amazing. You just watch what God does through us and then for us. And you're thinking, okay, how can we do that? How can we plant 250 churches in Ethiopia? How can we continue to fund the other missions endeavors that we have going on? And you know what? I think it's only going to come by the grace of the King. Because as we raise the bar on what our commitments and our involvements are, the higher we raise that bar, the more grace that we need to resource this. But money isn't, as Brian said, money isn't the capital of the kingdom. It is the love and the generosity and the voice and the will of the King. And he will enable us to do it. But it's going to take what I said last week, a radical realignment of our lives, of our worldview, of how we spend our time, of how we spend our money. Radical. But you remember last week we said that radical is nothing more than getting back to our roots. That's what the word means. We're just getting back to what Jesus wants. We're just getting back to what the Father wants. And so you watch. You watch. We're going to change the world. And in the process, we're going to get changed too. And I am so excited for this. I am so excited for what God is going to do at Portland Christian Center. And I hope you are too. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is someone said the other day, and I thought it was a classic line, and we're talking about all the things that we're involved in, not just Ethiopia and One Day, but all of the other things. They talked about the possibility of giving fatigue, of giving fatigue at Portland Christian Center. And I understand that's a very real possibility. But I want you to begin to reframe this in your mind, that this isn't a debit to my checking account. This is an investment that I'm making into the kingdom and for the King. And you know what happens with the King's investments? They only increase. They only get more. And the way the kingdom works is the more we give, the more God gives to us so that we can then give away for his glory and his work. And so that's going to happen. So I'm going to shut up because I just started preaching, I think. And I think you've already been preached to. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're just going to commit this message and the voice of the Lord to our hearts this morning, and we're going to ponder it. And remember, we just have one rule, and that is we say, God, what do you want from us? What do you want from me? And then what? You just do it, right? You just do it. Father, thank you for this moment, this message that came to us this morning, just another confirmation that you're shifting the focus of Portland Christian Center, and you are turning us into a world-impacting church family like never before. But Lord, it's not only going to be through our strength and our resources, but it's going to be through your grace that flows to us and through us that this is going to happen. And Lord, I'm excited not just about the impact out there that we have, but I think you're going to fundamentally change how we do church, how we live as your children, and the grace and the resources and the blessings that come to us because of us just dedicating ourselves for your glory. So Lord, help us to get that. Let that sink into our hearts. May it become enculturated, the core of fundamentally of who we are, Father, I pray. Now, I pray that as we go today, and as you bring us back tonight to celebrate missions here at the church, Lord, I just pray that your peace would be upon us. And I pray that we would sense your presence and your pleasure all day long and all week long. And Lord, would you send some power along with it to just enable us to do not just the natural, but to enter into the supernatural. In our workaday world, Lord, I pray. When we go back to work, when we go into our homes, when we go to school, when we go to the club, I pray that your power would enable us to speak your love and to be your love extended to this community. Lord, that's my prayer. I pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part four of our series, Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World for the Whole Man. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. And for more information about our church, you can visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.